Blog Talk Radio.
Soulvox Radio presents Evolve with your host, Robin White Turtle Disney. Hi, this is Robin White Turtle Disney. The show is Evolve. And my special guest today is Barbara Thomas. Barbara is an artist, an author, and her soul's call has been to be a forerunner of the new age. I would agree with that, since I know Barbara and we're good friends. And she has a new book called Living with the Spirits of the Land, a Spiritual Memoir. And today we're going to talk about this book because I think it has tremendous impact for many, many people. So welcome, Barbara.
Thank you, Robin. Happy to have this opportunity to share.
Yeah. So we are in her kitchen here, and really the beginning of her book, Awakening to the Call, I want to ask you the question, how did you know you were a forerunner for the new age? How did you begin to know that? Because it seems that it was somewhat of a process here.
Yes, I was going to say, it was years and years and years before that statement was given to me, you are a forerunner of the new age. And when I heard it, Spirit gave me the words. And when I heard it, I thought, yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. I am. Mm-hmm. And so I had no trouble owning it and accepting it, but I really never talked about it.
Mm-hmm.
And just recently, somebody asked me a question, and that answer came out. So I guess it's time to start thinking about it out loud and sharing the truth of it.
And what does that mean to you to be the forerunner of the new age? I mean, how would you describe the way you live and the way you experience life as somewhat different than the old process of living within conditioning?
Well, much of it has come forth with living with the spirits of the land,
mm-hmm.
of opening to the spiritual dimension of the beings that live on my land. But I had an interesting experience in 19, what would that have been? Well, I'll just say my age. When I was 79, I was on a tour through Ireland, and it was a kind of a wet, mossy day, and I was going into a cairn, and my foot slipped on the moss of the entrance to the cairn, and my head touched the side stone that had a lot of writing on it. And I sat there and I could feel an energy going between the stone and my mind. And I thought, they're searching my mind to see what a current woman, I as a current woman, put out my mind, how I think. And I just had a feeling they were scanning to observe my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I came out of that, they said, when you reach your 80th birthday, which was going to be in 2 months, you're going to change the direction of your life. You are going to, it's not a new chapter of a book, it's a new book that you'll be writing.
Mm.
And I would say that when I was 80, that was the beginning of the new book,
mm-hmm.
and the beginning of moving into the dimension of consciousness of being a forerunner of the new age.
Mm-hmm.
Prior to that, I was mortal mind, ego-oriented, just everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, a variety of things happened that caused me to shift.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing that happened was I broke my leg. I was walking through the forest, chatting with a friend, and I stepped on a rock and I fell. And when I fell, I thought, uh-oh, this is serious.
Mm-hmm.
And I broke my leg. And as I fell, I heard the inner voice say, this is a gift, Barbara.
Mm-hmm.
And so lying in bed for 7 months while my leg healed, I pondered what was the gift. And then some teachings that came, tapes I listened to, teachings, the teacher said, if you are living a dedicated life and you're getting off path, you're going to get hit broadside.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized I'd been hit broadside.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next day or two, another teaching came about the human habit. And the human habit is criticism, condemnation, judgment, blame, and gossip.
Mm.
As I was talking to my friend, I was breaking 4 of the 5 human habits.
Mm.
And that was the gift, was to recognize that, because that was the way I lived.
Mm.
Criticism, condemning, mm-hmm. ruminating about things I didn't like. My mind was constantly in a whirl of criticizing and judging.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I stopped doing that, my life changed.
Mm.
My energy came. I used to be tired and sick. I became more healthy. I became stronger.
Mm-hmm.
My life just shifted when I stopped creating and doing those harmful human habits.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was where everything started shifting.
So you were 80 before all of this started to really unravel or unfold for you.
I was 80 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I'd had my 80th birthday and then I broke my leg.
Gosh. So the spirits of the land are the ones who you were saying before when you touched your head on the cairn that or on the rock that was there, that was the spirits that were talking to you. Is that correct?
Well, yes, it was the spirits of that land.
Of that
and
land.
And I relate with the spirits of my land. But yeah, Robin, that is true.
Yeah, yeah. Well, then, so this awakening process that you went through began in a sense, although it had been kind of developing for many years through your life with your husband and having children and all of that was pretty much a development. And you outline that in this book so well, your early life and where you were in La Cañada and San Luis Obispo years, and then moving up here to Ben Lomond and being in this area. So how has your life unfolded since your 80th birthday?
Well, I started, I became more committed to interacting with the spirits of the land.
Mm-hmm.
I have a special place on my land called the amphitheater that has been traditionally a place that people come to for sanctuary and for spiritual alignment.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the history says that at one time it was an Indian healing ground,
mm-hmm.
long, long ago. So within the amphitheater is where I've met
mm-hmm.
Different spirits. The first time I moved to the mountain, when I came up here, I was walking to the amphitheater, and I was aware of a very large being walking beside me. And this was not normal for me at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And I just realized it was a gnome. And he introduced himself as Mano and that he was going to be my teacher and
mm-hmm.
teach me. And he gave me one bit of wisdom, which I had forgotten and just remembered in writing the book. He said, "Time is not governed by the hands on a clock. Time is governed by segments of intention."
Mm-hmm.
And that I forget, and then I remember, and I forget, and I remember. But to really set intentions before I do something, there's enough time to do it.
It really makes a huge difference, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah. And I think intention is such an amazing and powerful tool. I know it's so powerful in the healing work I do. And with other people that I know, we were having a conversation about it the other day with some other healers I was involved with, and we had quite a conversation about how that is everything in laying the groundwork for what it is you're wanting in your life, or where you're wanting to move in your life, or where you're being guided to move in your life. So,
A simplicity in the Bible is ask and you shall receive.
Mm-hmm.
And another simplicity is just the cause and effect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you create a cause when you set an intention and the effect is to have it fulfilled.
Mm-hmm. Or in the art world, it could be form follows thought.
Yeah.
So that's another one, mm-hmm. you know, where...
I'm sure there are lots.
There are lots of...
Trying in many ways to teach us the power of getting our mind set on what we want to accomplish and then
mm-hmm.
holding our heart steady. Right. Until it happens.
Right, right. Well, in your book, in part 2 of your book, you talk about meeting Mano and learning to trust him.
Mm-hmm.
And tell me a little bit about that process, because I feel that Mano, being this gnome, is a spirit of the land. Talk to me a little bit about that, because I thought that was really fascinating to
me. Well, first I need to really say that I hadn't realized before that, well, I knew he introduced himself to me as a gnome and showed himself to me as a gnome and stayed in that image all of these years, 30 years.
Wow.
And then he had me connect later with the Council of Gnomes, and they all first appeared as gnomes. But they're just spirits of the land, and they showed me themselves to me as gnomes so that I would know they were of the land.
Uh-huh.
And I just had that realization, like that, well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Just a couple of days ago. So I'll have to go back and ask me my question again since I got off.
Well, in your section two, you were talking about meeting Mano, and then you just mentioned how you met him, and then that he was walking with you. How did you learn to trust the information that you were getting? Because I know a lot of people talking to spirits of the land or their spirit guides or their angels, they have a hard time learning to trust the information. And I tell people, I mean, I know this, you know this, but I tell people that it's no different than if you were to discern another energy, another human being. You know, you have to learn to trust them, and it takes time, and it's a relationship, so it has to build. But also, you have to check in with what's true for you, and always, you know, find a resonance within yourself. But how did you learn to trust the information that you got from Mano?
Well, I communicate with him on computer.
Uh-huh.
I create a dialogue on the computer.
Uh-huh.
If he talks to me, say, when I go to the amphitheater and I have a question, I would come home and write it out. Or sometimes down there I'd write it by hand, but I found the computer was so much easier to read.
Uh-huh.
And so now I even take my computer to the amphitheater when I go.
Uh-huh.
And I put a question in, and then dialogue. I have a font for him and a font for me.
Oh.
So we carry on a conversation.
Uh-huh.
Then when the conversation is over, I go back with my pendulum and I ask, is this accurate? Is this accurate? Is this accurate?
Uh-huh.
And I put a mark at the end, a cross if it's accurate, a line if it's not.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's not accurate, then I go back to find out where I didn't understand and what I didn't understand.
Mm-hmm.
And we create another dialogue about that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that is very specific. So you really get very clear about what's true for you and what's not true for you. And, you know, the use of pendulum, you know, is well known as a truth-telling device from way back. I mean, it's a way to find to which water and to find water on land. And but it also is really helpful to find yes and no answers to things that are challenging for us. So you formed a council with the gnomes and with the spirits of the land there.
Well, what happened one time... there's a big tree right at the entrance to the amphitheater.
Mm-hmm.
I call it the mother tree. So when I was there with the mother tree, I leaned my back into her, and she said, tomorrow, bring your computer and sit at my foot and write down whatever you hear and whatever you see. So the next day, I brought my computer. I went to the mother tree. I sat down with my back to her. And I just opened up, and I saw Mano standing in front of me, and I heard words.
Mm-hmm.
So I typed them out, and the mother said, now, I want you to come back every day, do this every day until you leave for your trip to Europe.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was 3 months away. That wasn't just tomorrow or next week. And so I went down every morning for 3 months and just took the messages. And the message that came over and over, I actually thought I was making it up because it just kept repeating over and over, was when you step outside, say hello.
Mm-hmm.
When you feel the fresh air, speak to the air. Tell it you love it and tell it thank you. If you see a plant that you're attracted to, say that it's beautiful, touch it, caress it, and say, I love you, thank you. And just all the time appreciating, speak to the plants, speak to the air, speak to the elements.
Mm-hmm.
And that just seems to be the greatest, greatest desire and way for a human to open up a bridge to interacting with nature and the nature spirits and the spirits of the land.
Mm-hmm. I was laying in my hammock the other day, taking a much well-deserved nap and reading your book. And I looked up, and here's this amazing maple tree right in my back driveway. And it's in the driveway. So I just started talking to the tree and, you know, saying, thank you for sheltering us. And I'm sorry you have to live in this, you know, because I live in kind of a condoplex, you know, like multiple condominiums. And I said, I'm sorry you have to live in this cement jungle here. And the tree said to me, oh, I don't worry about that. I have my friend across the way. And he started pointing out the network of trees in that area. And, you know, we talk to each other. And so we're all here together. And I realized there was this whole community of tree-ness that was going on, even in the midst of, you know, a lot of cement and many, many people. So it was really interesting, because I was just reading about that in your book, and then I looked up, and here's this tree. I was like, I haven't even communed with you. What's the matter with me? You know, like, because that's one of the first things I usually try to do when I move somewhere. So then you learned about, I wanted to talk a little bit about the council that you formed with Mono. Can you talk a little bit about that? Because I think this is really important.
One day when I went down in the morning for the mother tree and to open up and record what was told, whatever I heard, then Mono told me at that time, because I was on my way to the studio to paint, and he said, when you get to the studio, form a council. And that's all he said. So I went to the studio, and I sat with my computer, and I recorded everything into the computer. Okay, I'm sitting in this chair, and I'm supposed to start a council. I'm looking around, and I'm not really seeing anything. Oh, I think I see Mono sitting in a chair across from me. Oh, I think I see other chairs that are empty. Oh, I think I see some gnomes coming in and sitting down. And, you know, I just write it all out, and the first time, they just said, this is enough.
Mm-hmm.
You come back. So I've established the pattern that every time I go to the studio, I open council.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they tell me things to paint. Sometimes they tell me things about my life. Sometimes they don't tell me anything.
Mm-hmm.
But I make the connection, and Mono will be there and, like, holding space.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Wow. So in your book, there's so much in here about how people can get connected with the spirits of the land and what they've taught you through different teachers that you've had and influences that you've had. The different levels of the fairy tradition, and that's F-A-E-R-I-E, right?
Yes.
Fairy tradition that really helped you understand about this realm of the subtle energy. Can you talk a little bit about that? Because I was so fascinated by the R.J. Stewart information and Elias Longsdale's information, and talk a little bit about them and your influence on your life.
When I was studying and reading Celtic fairy tales, when I was traveling to the Celtic lands and visiting the ancient stones, I always felt a warmth in my heart. One statement was the Tuatha De Danann, the children of Dana, and these were a race of people. Another place, I think they're all called the same, the She is a group of people that one statement is they're a little higher than humans and a little lower than angels.
Mm.
And the fairy, F-A-E-R-I-E, are all fit into that same naming of these, a race of beings that are, as I say, higher than human and lower than angel.
Mm-hmm.
They live in a realm that they can manifest as real and be seen or they stay invisible. And I guess that manifestation and be seen would be what I saw with Mono.
Mm-hmm.
He was in my imagination, but I could easily see him.
Mm-hmm.
And the same with the council. They're in my imagination, but I can watch what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So that they're lowering their energy to the point that they can connect with me.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they're not connecting with me, their energy is higher and not taking a form of a being in a, you know, dressed like a gnome,
mm-hmm.
or
mm-hmm.
whatever they're dressed like.
Well, my experience of spirits of different kinds is that they take the form on that can best be seen by the people they're trying to communicate with.
I've heard that too.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Because I know that Wulan, when I channel Wulan, who's this Tibetan teacher that I've had from evidently many lifetimes now, when he comes in, when I see him, he has a turban, and he's, you know, which is really not Tibetan necessarily, but he has this kind of Tibetan style turban hat, and then he has robes on and so on. But that's for my benefit more than it is for him, because he's really a spirit of light. We just can't, because we don't always relate to light as who we are, we can't really relate to them as light in the same way. So they come in the form that works best for us.
I think that's so true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to continue our interview with Barbara Thomas, author and artist, and author of the new book, Spirits of the Land, and we'll be right back. This is Robin White Turtle Listening, and the show is Evolve.
Evolve, nurturing the new in consciousness, the arts, and culture, with your host, Robin White Turtle Listening. Evolve brings you people and ideas on the cutting edge of change, opening the shells of the past to move our culture into the now. We are all in great need of sustainable ideas for change. Evolve brings you the wise, the foolish, and the heart-based to help us meet the challenges of our times. Join us the third Thursday of the month at 2 p.m. Pacific Time for Evolve.
Hi, I'm Robin White Turtle Listening, and I'm glad that you're listening to my show, Evolve. I wanted to let you know about a new book that I have called Mosaic, New and Collected Poems. It's a volume of 30 years of poetry that I'm very excited about, and it's being published by Bluebone Books. In addition to that, I also have Dancing Up the Moon, Living a Sacred Life. More recent books are Heart Path, Heart Path Handbook, and Poems for the Lost Deer. All of these books, the last three books, are published by Bluebone Books. I'm also an energy medicine practitioner, and I am a psychic and a medium. And I've been a radio host on Evolve for a number of years, about 5 years, where I interview authors on the cutting edge of change. Authors who are writing innovative things, authors who are exploring new consciousness, and also bringing old traditions back into the current time to help us at this time of the world. And now we'll go back to the show. Hi, we're back. This is Robin White Turtle Listening. The show is Evolve, and my special guest is Barbara Thomas, author and artist, and she has a new book called Living with the Spirits of the Land, and she is really a forerunner for the new age in her consciousness and the way she works with spirits of the land. We're going to pick up the program where we were talking about the she and different levels of fairy, F-A-E-R-I-E. So you learned about different levels of fairy, the she, the white fairy, the brown fairy.
Okay, the she, yeah. That's different. I learned this from Elias Lonsdale, white fairy, brown fairy, green fairy.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes such sense. The white fairy are the spiritual dimension of fairy that would be called Deva.
Mm-hmm.
The angels of the land, the angels mm-hmm. of every forest has one angel or one deva that watches over it. All the rivers have of a deva, or lakes have a deva.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be the white fairy. They're the ones that are really formless.
Uh-huh.
And then the green fairy would be what we see around us in the green world, the
uh-huh.
plants mm-hmm. that we see, the trees, the
flowers.
And the, mm-hmm. the brown fairy are the energies deep in the earth. That watch, there are many levels of those deep in the earth. One level watches over the growth of gold and jewels, and there are a lot of stories about the treasures within the earth.
Mm-hmm.
But these beings actually form the energies to create the jewels that and the gemstones that
mm-hmm.
come out of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's other layers that are very large that watch over volcanoes, that watch over gods, I call them the gods of the mountains,
mm-hmm.
That watch over large pieces of land.
Mm-hmm.
And all of that is in the brown fairy realm.
Mm-hmm.
So the green fairy, we relate with every day. The white fairy, we are aware of because they watch over large expanses of land and
mm-hmm.
Forests. And then the brown fairy is that which upholds us within the earth.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I was doing an interview with my friend Mary Ellen Hill, who has a fairy camp in her
her
children. Yeah, and I was with the children one time a couple of years ago, and I was talking to them about the spirits that were around us, and I said, "Well, there's a very large gnome that's here, and he's called Jack, and he wants you to know that he's here." And so I got in touch with Jack and introduced him to the children. Some of his children could see him. And I didn't describe him. I just said, "Jack is here, and he's a brown fairy. He's a guardian of a large area of that side of Oakland, you know, the southern part of Oakland. And her land is part of that." So we had this long conversation about the different levels of fairy, and the ones that they related to in the flowers are different than Jack, who's kind of oversees a larger area. So this understanding of the brown fairy and the green fairy and the white fairy really resonated with me when I was reading about it, because I really understood, oh, that was Jack. He's a brown fairy.
Well, I have something that's really exciting, because Jack is the first fairy being I've ever met.
Oh.
I've read instructions, and I've looked through all my books for this instruction. I can't find it. But I was reading in a book, and they said, if you want to connect, why, go to some place in nature, sit with your back to the tree, and ask to meet Mother Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And first you ask permission. I'd like to meet Mother Earth. May I meet Mother Earth? And I did that, and this being came zipping around behind me, in front of me. He made me think of a leprechaun.
Mm.
And he said that he was Jack, and his name was Jack, and that he would guide me to meet the mother.
Oh.
And so then I went into a meditation to meet the divine mother of the Mother Earth, the land.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I don't connect with him that often,
mm-hmm.
but he says, every time I come to the amphitheater, he is there. And there, beneath the amphitheater, is a fairy temple.
Mm-hmm.
And when I go into the fairy temple, Jack is always with me as my guide to get into
my.
The fairy temple.
Isn't that amazing?
But, you know, I see him as little, but he is the guardian of this fairy temple, actually.
Uh-huh. Well, and he may have duties that we don't know about.
Absolutely.
You know, if he's all the way up in Oakland, he may be over a certain region or something.
Yeah, and then he would make himself in a way that was interesting to me and something I could handle, like a leprechaun. He had like green velvet pants and a tweed like jacket and,
uh-huh. yeah.
and but you know I never met any first spirit I met. No, I met Mono before that, because that was afterwards. But I don't get that sort of picture, so he was very impressive to me.
Oh, that's great. Well, I think it's fascinating, because these spirits, they come in to help us and to teach us, and they're so helpful if we connect with them.
Yeah.
And the truth is, every one of us could connect with them.
Oh, they want to connect.
And they want to connect.
Oh, so badly they want to connect.
You mentioned in your book, yeah, many times. Like, so talk about that, about why they want to connect with us.
Oh, that's part of the coming of a new age. Ah. It's the unfolding of the age where the kingdoms all interact and support one another.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, the nature kingdom, give. The elementals, give. Bombs are shattering to the elemental and shattering to the earth and the deep ground. And humans are not being aware of the elemental kingdom and the spirits of the land, the spirits of the ocean. I mean, we're so destructive. It's just so harmful.
Yeah.
That is why part of the golden age is the awakening of the different kingdoms as being alive and real and interact and support one another.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, they just give, like the trees.
Mm-hmm.
They're connecting with each other, but they're giving. They're giving to all of the people in your complex,
mm-hmm.
and they're there to give,
right?
Because they are wanting to bring people into harmony with themselves and to awaken to the larger picture of the land and,
mm-hmm.
and of the well, what I the word is ecosphere, and I don't know what that means.
Well,
that's what came in my mind.
Ecology, the whole ecology, ecosphere is kind of our green ecology, I think.
Yeah.
And they are so supportive. I feel their love for us and their help for us so often. And all you have to do is stop and slow down and tune into it, because they're really quite there. One of the things I always do in my training sessions is I have people go hug trees and talk to the trees. And that is the favorite part of the training session, so that they connect with that realm and understand that the trees are available to them to commune with, and that they can also give to the trees. You know, if we listen to them deeply enough, they help us so much. So I don't know. I really hear that this book and how you're relating to that world, to that unseen world, but it's not unseen if you can tune into it.
You
know, if you have the right heart, it has to be a heart connection.
It's in the feelings.
It's in the feelings.
It's a feel-see, a see-feel. That's what I learned. I don't see it with my eyes. I feel, and then because I can feel the presence, then I can get a seeing of what it's like.
Yes, yeah. And their presence really heals us, really helps us in so many ways. So many ways. I had a healing in your amphitheater a couple weeks ago. It was really quite profound. And I want to say that your amphitheater is really a grove in a large open space of madrones and redwoods all the way around the outside of it. And so I just to kind of describe what the amphitheater is, because it's up in the woods. We're up in the woods here, up in the redwoods in the Santa Cruz Mountains, and this is a clearing area. And in the clearing, you can feel all the healing from all the different trees and the spirits of the land there. It's really quite lovely.
It's
very special place.
It is, and it's such an honor to be living here and to own it.
So in your part six of your book, we've gone through several parts of your book. We talked about the world of fairy. You have in 2014 through 16, you had summer journeys. So, and I see that you had different focuses. One was on the spirits of the land, one was on the mother, one was on the sacred fire. Can you talk a little bit about that part of your journey?
It was really fun. My writing teacher in 2014, the last class, she said, well, we're all going on journeys this summer. Let's spend 30 minutes and write about the journey we're going to go on. And I thought, well, I'm not going anywhere. But in 1985, Jim and I took a year journey through Europe.
Mm.
And so I just started reminiscing about that year and the marvelous year of traveling through Europe. And so my whole time was taken up writing through that memory. And then at the very end, I thought, well, I'm not going any place this summer. I think I'll take a summer journey. I'll get in my Betsy, my Kawasaki mule, and drive. I'll take a journey from my front door to the amphitheater every day. And so that was what I started doing. Well, when I arrived in the amphitheater that first day, Mana was there to meet me, and he had a lot of plans. It's like his idea more than mine. I just took it on as mine. But he wanted me to come every day. He wanted me to take a stick of the land and to use India ink on white paper and just make marks of the energy of the land. Mm. So it was a stick of the land to connect with the land and find a stick of the land and then make marks. So I did that every day. And it was really fun. Mm. And it was really, some of the drawings were really lovely. But the thing that was really wanted of me was to go there regularly. Mm-hmm. And I would spend anywhere from 15 minutes to 4 hours. And more over and over, he would say, lie on the earth to begin with. And right now, I'm just starting my summer journey again, and for the past week, all he's had me do is lie on the earth. Mm. Just let that earth energy come in balance, because it's been a really busy. I've been a year of tremendous focus to get this book finished in time for our art show.
Yeah.
And then the show, and all that's over, and he just had me lie on the earth to restore my energy to get back into balance.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, and that's part of how they help us heal, if we listen. I know for me, getting a hammock swing and getting a stand for it was part of my healing this summer. It's like, no, you're going to intentionally go out there. There's something about swinging for me. I think it's close to swimming. And just swinging and rocking really relaxes me and lets me just allow myself to kind of wrap myself in this womb of the hammock. And and then I connect with nature when I do that. I'm looking up through the trees. I'm looking at the sky, at the clouds. And it really, really has helped me.
I want to share a story.
Yeah.
When I first moved up here, before my 80th birthday, I had a lot of illness. And Mono asked me to lie on the earth. And I saw something happening. Little elementals that felt like they were maybe a foot tall were taking things out of my body and putting things in.
Mm.
And I remembered that when I'd lived in La Cañada, before I believed or experienced anything, before I knew Mono, before I knew anything, I had a friend, Brooks, who interacted with elementals, and she was writing a story of elementals.
Mm-hmm.
And I was sick, and she brought by the manuscript for me to read. And so I opened the manuscript, and these little elementals popped up. I would say 2 inches tall, very small, went all over my body, opened up little places and pulled out something that looked like dead, like a dried pea, and opened other places and brought fresh ones in. They did that all over my body. They were probably less than a minute, and then back into the envelope. But I got well really fast.
Uh-huh.
And that same thing happened in the amphitheater one time when I was lying on the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw the elementals working and removing stuff from my body and putting new stuff in.
Yeah. Well, the elementals, how they work, I just find it really fascinating because they can really help us heal, do amazing healing. And our bodies are the earth. So if you think of them planting little peas that are going to grow, that are going to be supportive of your energy, that makes total sense. It's like they're seeding the earth again and with more health. I know I used to have a group of light doctors that would come through, and I don't know what level of fairy they were involved in, but they were spirits that came in and did light work and would rewire people and really help people shift their energy when I was doing massage. It happens once in a great while now, but now I do more of the work, and they've wanted to train me to do that work. So Now I do it instead, but once in a while I get stuck and I'll call them in and they'll come in. And they look like surgeons in white gowns, so they must be the white fairies. But they're very very serious, and I call them the light guys, and they come in and they rewire people. And because our systems, our energy systems, do get tired and get worn out, and we can regenerate if we connect with the earth. Yeah. So, well, you had a whole summer where you focused on the mother. Can you talk about that a little bit, about Divine Mother and how she connects with you?
The way they had me connect with the mother was to bring in water in my ink stick drawings. And some of it turned out really messy and other was really pretty.
Mm-hmm.
But the mother is the earth. She's life.
Mm-hmm.
She's the nurturer and the giver and the feeling side of life. We were talking about intentions earlier. So the intentions are the focus of the mind,
mm-hmm.
but it's the love of the heart that fulfills that focus and
mm-hmm.
brings forth the substance.
Mm-hmm.
And she's everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I love the times I've visited with and some Indian gurus, and
mm-hmm.
you would sit in their presence to receive their darshan.
Yes.
And I was told one time, when you step outside, from inside to outside, just accept that fresh air as Mother Nature's darshan and
mm-hmm.
blessing to you.
Mm-hmm.
And so I sometimes I forget, and I'm always
mm-hmm.
sorry when I do.
Mm-hmm.
But I love that stepping out from inside to out and feel the openness and to just absorb that as Mother Nature's
mm-hmm.
blessing to
mm-hmm.
me.
Mm-hmm.
So the mother is the basis of all life.
Yes.
And
yes.
For me to open to her presence and her love makes everything inside soft.
Yes.
Makes everything inside soft.
Yeah. That's a beautiful way to say it, yeah.
And one time, I was sitting at the foot of a redwood tree talking with a friend, and all of a sudden I felt the presence of spirit or the mother just fill my heart with love.
Mm-hmm.
And the man I was with said, "Barbara, I just saw the most amazing thing. That tree just leaned over and gave you a blessing."
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, oh, you know,
mm-hmm.
that it's the trees that give the blessing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the trees could, you know, the mother giving the blessing
mm-hmm.
as I sat there chatting. And it was so nice to have that good feeling I get when I'm walking through nature
mm-hmm.
as being the trees, the mother that is touching me and blessing me,
yeah.
giving me that good feeling.
And all we have to do is acknowledge it. Like,
yeah.
that's the thing. It's very simple. We
yeah.
just have to acknowledge it. And this, I can really feel that this ushering in of this connection with the unseen realms or the unperceived realms, I'll say, because really they're all around us if we tune in, is really going to change things and open things up for all of us, I think.
And that's the new age.
And that's the new age.
It's to be open in all dimensions, to
yes.
get out of a locked mind
yes.
into a mind that's in union with the heart.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. That's very powerful. Well, Barbara Thomas, it's been wonderful to talk to you. I've been talking to Barbara Thomas, who just finished the book, this book called Living with the Spirits of the Land, a spiritual memoir. There's so much in it about these different worlds that we live within, and there's so much in it about your own life lessons that
oh.
you so generously share with people, and I really appreciated that about it. So thank you so much, Barbara. It's been
my
delightful.
Pleasure.
This is Robin White Turtle Listney, and the show is Evolve. One last word, Barbara and I just completed an art show together at the Mountain Arts Center that you can see on YouTube. So look for us there. It's on my YouTube channel, Robin Listney, or Robin White Turtle Listney. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for joining us. We hope you enjoyed the show. This is Deb Caracella. Please join us next time for Evolve with Robin White Turtle Listney. Thursday afternoon at 2 p.m.
The music is by Claudia Vieira. I'm Trey.